Today we'll be reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Chalila, Chapter 1, Rupa Goswami's Second Meeting with the Lord, Text 195. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda.
Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhaktavrinda.
Kim Kavyena Kavistasya.
Kim Kavyena Kavistasya.
Kim Kandena Dhanushmata.
Kim Kandena Dhanushmata.
Parasya Hridaye Lagnam.
Parasya Hridaye Lagnam.
Nagurna Yati Yashchira.
Nagurna Yati Yashchira.
Okay. Before we do the synonyms, we'll look at the background. We're in a section of Anchalila taking place in Jagannath Puri at the place where Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur would reside. Every day after seeing Lord Jagannath in the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and visit Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami at their abode. It is quite ironic that both Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami felt themselves low and unqualified, low-born, to enter the temple at Jagannath Puri, according to the custom, which goes on even today. Yet, Sri Jagannath, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming to see them. Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur did not want to disturb the etiquette, the mundane social etiquette that low-born persons or persons who have become low by associating with low persons, that's how Rupa Goswami considered himself, even though he was born in a high-class Brahmana family. He had served in the Mohammedan government, so he considered himself to be abominable. And of course, Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, the Acharya of the Holy Name, was born in a Mohammedan family. So, for that reason, they felt themselves unqualified to enter the Jagannath Temple, according to the mundane custom about connecting your spiritual qualification to your birth, to your body. Nevertheless, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is coming to visit them every day. And he likes to hear the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami. Even the handwriting of Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya said, looked like rows of pearls. What to speak of what he was writing? When you hear these descriptions of Lord Chaitanya's interaction with the writing of Rupa Goswami, aided by Ramananda Roy and Haridas Thakur, you may realize that the real purpose of art is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is why artists are so bewildered today. And they don't know what the actual purpose of art is. You'll find in Goloka Vrindavan the origin and ultimate perfection of all arts. Music. painting, flower arranging, using various scents, cooking. All that originates in Goloka Vrindavan for Krishna's pleasure. And everything there is personified. The seasonal changes are there in Goloka Vrindavan just to add variety to Krishna's pastimes. So the seasons exist as persons. The ragas, the musical ragas, exist as persons, serving Krishna's pleasure. When you begin to understand this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll understand where art comes from and what it's for. We'll discuss that more, because you're going to hear Ramananda Roy, one of the two confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya, Sup Damodar being the other. You're going to hear Ramananda Roy explain that in order to successfully convey knowledge of rasa, the personal relationship to Krishna, artistic expression is necessary. In this way, you can understand that actually the purpose of art is to convey the various emotional exchanges between the Lord and his devotee. In this way, you won't be, hopefully, you won't become bewildered by mundane artistic expression. There's something attractive in art, particularly music. It invokes feelings and identification from people. Even degraded Kali Yuga music. That is because you're seeing just the faintest glimmer of the potency of what real art is. And when you mature in devotional service and read the poetic descriptions of Rupa Goswami as quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you'll understand what is art. Why is it? What is it for? Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pinnacle of Vaishnava scriptures. Of course, everything is absolute. Everything is on the platform of perfection. Nevertheless, Chaitanya Charitamrita is renowned for its sweetness and poetry. It collects, or Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has collected verses from so many shastras and woven them together in presenting the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you'll get the cream of so many Vaishnava literatures, even very intimate Vaishnava literatures. You'll get the cream in a protected way. Rupa Goswami, upon the order of Lord Chaitanya, has been reading verses that he's composed for two plays he's writing, Lalita Madhava and Vidugdha Madhava. These started off as one play about Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna in Dwarka. But then Rupa Goswami, on his way to Jagannath Puri, had a dream of Satyabhama, one of the main wives of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And Satyabhama, in case you don't remember, she's known for being feisty and possessive and jealous. She gives Krishna pleasure in that way. When Krishna gave Rukmini, his chief wife, a Parijata flower, Satyabhama became disturbed. So Krishna went to the heavenly planets and brought back a whole Parijata tree to Satyabhama. Rukmini is very agreeable, very passive. She didn't get disturbed. that now Satyabhama had a tree, Parijata tree. Those Parijata flowers with heavenly fragrance. So you see, everything originates in the absolute truth. So in the perfect pastimes and loving exchanges between Lord Krishna and his devotees, you see male nature, you see female nature, but it's all in perfection. So Satyabhama's jealousy is the ultimate perfection because it's wholly for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna liked to act like a henpecked husband and to pacify Satyabhama's anger. He went and got her a whole Parijata tree. Even having a kind of mock battle with Indra. Indra thought, "Ooh, it's Krishna. When is he coming to the heavenly planets to take a Parijata tree just to pacify Satyabhama? Krishna must be henpecked." So Indra decided to have a bit of a fight. Actually, the truth is that Indra is henpecked. It's an example of seeing in others what's actually in yourself. So after a brief skirmish, Krishna took the Parijata tree from the heavenly planets and gave it to Satyabhama. When you read about Krishna's intimate consorts in Vrindavan, his most dear devotees, the gopis, whatever they do is art. Actually, all existence in Goloka Vrindavan is art. As the Brahma Sanhita explains, every step is dance, every word is song. Now, this is why in perverted material existence, people are attracted to artistic expression. But the rasas that mundane artistic expression give are perverted, polluted. Well, this is the problem. They contaminate the heart, they contaminate the mind, which aren't contaminated enough to begin with. They simply churn the ocean of toxicity. But when you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see, especially as you advance more and more in devotional service, how the ocean of pure devotion is stirred. And you can experience all the various tastes that that ocean is composed of. Similarly, as you advance in spiritual life, nectar of devotion will become more and more dear to you. At first, as we've pointed out often, the second half of nectar devotion may seem quite exotic because you've forgotten your original existence. But as you become more and more qualified in devotional service, the second half of nectar devotion will be more and more attractive to you. Even though you may not rashly understand all that you read, you feel some kinship with it. And certainly, as you mature markedly in devotional service, you'll begin to identify with a particular portion of the second half of the nectar devotion. As you become more and more aware of your original constitutional position in loving Krishna, all that comes by humble service. All that comes by being a genuine disciple and being a selfless servant of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. We'll give you just a glimpse, a taste of some of the verses that Rupa Goswami was reciting. He didn't want to recite these verses. He considered it impudent to say what he was writing in the presence of such an exalted audience as Lord Chaitanya Ramananda Roy Haridas Thakur. But Lord Chaitanya ordered him. So therefore, Rupa Goswami simultaneously expressed his feeling of being impotent, at the same time he fulfilled the order of Lord Chaitanya. He said, all right, I'll have to be very impudent to dare speak what I'm writing in front of you. But, in other words, since you have ordered, I'll say something. Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami describes that Lord Chaitanya persisted again and again in getting Rupa Goswami to recite his verses. We discussed one of them previously. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when that holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Lord Chaitanya said to Rupa Goswami, in his imploring him to recite the verse, my dear Rupa, please recite that verse from your drama, which upon being heard makes all people's unhappiness and lamentation go away. And that was the verse. We should know for a fact that through attentive chanting of the holy name, the activities of the mind will become conquered. Your senses will become under control, pacified. Simply one has to be daily serious about pursuing the holy name. Daily serious about pursuing the relationship. There's no point in fretting impatiently and banging one's head against the wall because for 2 months you've been chanting Hare Krishna and your mind is still wild. Your mind's always been wild. You just start to figure it out. It's not that I was a very well-balanced person before I started chanting Hare Krishna. All my friends thought I was very stable, mature, and competent. My professors at school thought that I was very wholesome. My partners thought that I was a live wire. And then I started chanting Hare Krishna. And all of a sudden, my mind just went wild. No, that is not the case. The mind has always been a wild jungle, but you weren't aware of it. Upon first chanting Hare Krishna, you become aware of the devastation that's going on between your two eyes. The disaster area. And you have the means in hand to do something about it. It does take persistence. It does take dedication, duty, and commitment. But if you proceed in that way, you will be successful. Indeed, chanting Hare Krishna will conquer the mind and the senses will become inert. In other words, the senses will slacken their grip on material engagement. We were discussing how Rupa Goswami was writing one play and then by the order of Satyabhama. He had a dream of Satyabhama when he was on his way to Jagannath Puri. And in true Satyabhama style, in the dream she told him, I want my own drama. So Rupa Goswami took that to mean, okay, we'll put Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes in one book, in one drama, and we'll put Krishna's Dwarka pastimes in another drama. And that way Satyabhama has her own scene in Dwarka. And then when Rupa Goswami came to Jagannath Puri and he met Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya spontaneously told him, Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami took that to confirm that indeed he should have two dramas. Because the Krishna outside of Vrindavan, Yadu Kumar, he's the Vasudeva expansion of Krishna. But the original Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He's, you might say he's imprisoned there by his devotees' love. Even when it seems that he's gone to Mathura or he's living in Dwarka, he's there in his bhava presence, which is actually even more intense because that presence is tasted through love of Krishna and separation. Krishna always knows how to be present in order to help his devotees to advance. So never think that the Lord is unresponsive. Ramananda Roy asked Rupa Goswami questions about the dramas. In this way, Ramananda Roy is indicating that both he and Rupa Goswami possessed very high technical knowledge, artistic knowledge of how to properly put forth dramas. That's the real purpose of artistic technique, is to perfectly convey the emotions happening in loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees. Otherwise, what is the use of artistic technique? It does have a place. It has its place in conveying rasa. Therefore, you'll see Rupa Goswami and Ramananda Roy going over various technical points. Introductory verses to the dramas, introduction of characters. There is a science of this pure spiritual drama, all for the purpose of pleasing Krishna's senses. So, for example, you'll hear Ramananda Roy inquire, by which subdivision of style do the players enter? And Rupa Goswami will speak about that. This is an example of Rupa Goswami's artistry. Of course, the poeticness comes out a million times more in the original Sanskrit. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada has given us a very poetic translation in English. Srimati Radharani is the Ganges in which the elephant of my mind enjoys pastimes. This is Krishna speaking in the drama. She is the shining of the full autumn moon for the Chakor birds of my eyes. She is the dazzling ornament, the bright and beautiful arrangement of stars on the border of the sky of my chest. Now today I have gained Srimati Radharani because of the highly elevated state of my mind. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, this verse from the Lalita Madhava expresses the thoughts of Lord Krishna in relation with Radharani. So this is how much a confidential devotee Rupa Goswami is. He can actually present perfectly in drama the thoughts of Lord Krishna about his pleasure potency, the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani, the most exalted subject matter. Gradually, as you advance in spiritual life, you'll be able to free yourself from material lust by hearing about Krishna's pastimes with his confidential devotees. But one has to be prepared and be qualified to take that cure. The example I often give is for certain Ayurveda medicines, your body has to be strong enough to take that medicine first. Even though the medicine is the cure of what you have, you have to prepare your body. Similarly, even though the cure for material lust is to hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan with his intimate associates, you have to be ready and qualified to take that cure. That's why Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur were very, very solemn and very, very grave in their presentation of Krishna's pastimes. They would never do it in public to an unprepared audience. And even amongst their own disciples, they were very strict about someone prematurely focusing upon Krishna's intimate pastimes. Just remember, you have to prepare yourself to take the cure. And that preparation is not an overnight thing due to countless bursts of conditioning, contamination. When you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll get tastes of the ultimate cure presented through Lord Chaitanya, and therefore you're safe through Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the safe way to approach Krishna. Because he's Radha Krishna combined, he's the safe way to approach Radha Krishna Leela. We're going to discuss the reaction by Rupa Goswami's associates, including Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing these most exquisite verses written by Rupa Goswami. In this way, we can learn something about Vaishnava appreciation and Vaishnava responsiveness to the excellence of others' service. We're not just stones in the face of devotees doing nice and wonderful things for Krishna. There's always responsiveness when nice service to Krishna goes on. You may notice, if you've played sports, how during the match or the game, the players are encouraging each other after they score a point or something like that. Maybe some of you were sportsmen or sports ladies. And so when someone would score a goal or whatever they're trying to do, put the ball somewhere, then yeah, everyone celebrates and slaps each other on the back and gives encouraging words. Don't you realize all that's meant for devotional service? Where do you think it came from? In a sports match, every time an athlete does something meritorious, all the players surround him. Yeah. You have all seen? even if it's not like a game-winning act that the athlete did, but just in the process of the game, just mutual encouragement to keep the team spirit. Why can't we do that in devotional service? All that encouragement and mutual responsiveness originates in the spiritual world. So you can see that in the reactions to Rupa Goswami's poetry, his poetic verses from his drama. After hearing this, after hearing that particular verse we just read about Krishna's thoughts about Srimati Radharani, Srila Ramananda Roy submitted at the lotus feet of Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu the super excellence of Srila Rupa Goswami's poetic expression and began to praise it as if he had thousands of mouths. Can you imagine praising something that a devotee did as if you had thousands of mouths? Sometimes impersonalism creeps into our devotional dealings because we've been frustrated by personal dealings in material life. So although on the sports field you might have been so encouraging with your fellow teammates in order to inspire everyone to win the game, but when you come to Krishna consciousness, if some devotee is doing something nicely, you just remain like a stone. You grunt a bit. That's good, Prabhu. We can learn from Sri Caitanya Charitamrita how to respond . Ramananda Roy began to praise Rupa Goswami's poetic expression as if he had thousands of mouths. Srila Ramananda Roy said, "This is not a poetic presentation. It is a continuous shower of nectar." Indeed, it is the essence of all ultimate realizations appearing in the form of plays. Siddhanta Sar, the essence of Siddhanta, perfect realization of the Supreme Absolute Truth. That's real art. That is culture. Ramananda Roy continues, "The wonderful descriptions of Rupa Goswami are superb arrangements to express loving affairs. Hearing them will plunge the heart and ears of everyone into a whirlpool of transcendental bliss." So yes, we were discussing how the real purpose of art is to convey loving affairs, not mundane loving affairs. Now perhaps you can start to understand why in Maya, art is used so often to talk about male-female relationships, the agonies, the so-called ecstasies. All that is just perversion from the spiritual world. Rupa Goswami's poetry expresses loving affairs. As Ramananda Roy says, his poetic descriptions are superb arrangements. To express these loving affairs. Prema Paripati, a first-class arrangement for expressing rasa, pure love of Krishna. Praying. Hopefully, as you gradually begin to understand this, you'll lose your taste for mundane art, mundane expression. There's some glimmer there. But then when you look at the lives of these artists, musicians, it's horrible. And you wonder, how could you be attracted to something produced by such a horrible person? You ever think about that? Still, we have this weakness, so to speak. We have this propensity for artistic expression because it originates in the spiritual world. It is said in the Shastra that when Krishna plays his flute, all the art forms emanate. When you read Nectar Devotion, you can remember that it's an arrangement by Rupa Goswami to express the perfection of loving affairs. It's the essence of all ultimate realizations. Now, the sign that the writing, the cultural expression, the artistic expression is pure and perfect is the reaction upon qualified devotees. Just like mundane people, when they go to a concert or they see some work of art. For example, I think Dave and I was going for my walk and on the wharf, and they had some so-called work of art there. What is it called? Yeah.
Sculpture.
It was like just a mass sticking up in the air, and it was like a compass around it. It was right before you get to the TSB arena on the wharf, and there was a plaque there. This was done by such and such artist, born in New Zealand, 1900, died in New York City, and has this work of art has been put here posthumously. And so Dave and I were looking at it and trying to understand what, you know, what's the impact, you know, what's the thrill for the consciousness. You can see that people are trying hard to be stimulated. They're trying hard to squeeze some flavor out of material existence. But because they don't know the purpose of life, and they certainly don't understand perfect emotional expression, and they have to do this kind of abstract art. There's nothing abstract about Krishna's pastimes. Every little detail is of perfection, all meant to exchange perfect rasa. So Ramananda Roy says that hearing Rupa Goswami's poetic descriptions, which again are superb arrangements to express loving affairs, hearing them will plunge the hearts and ears of everyone into a whirlpool of transcendental bliss. Ananda Gurnana, a whirlpool of transcendental bliss. Wouldn't you like to be caught in that kind of whirlpool? Sucked under. Do you really believe such things exist? Or are these exaggerated poetic descriptions? Whirlpool of transcendental bliss. But this is what Rupa Goswami is revealing within this material world, because that is the mission of Lord Chaitanya, to make available this confidential love of Krishna even in the most degraded time. Now we go to today's verse. Having established that real art, real cultural expression, simply doesn't agitate your lower chakras or dull your consciousness, real art and culture plunges the heart and ears of everyone into a whirlpool, ananda gurnam, of transcendental bliss. That means an experience beyond the three modes of material nature, an experience perfectly in relation to Krishna. Kim kavyena kaveshtasya kim kandena dhanushmata parasya hridaye lagnam nagurnayati yachchira. We chanted the verse. Now let us do the synonyms. Kim.
Kim.
What use?
What use?
Kavyena.
Kavyena.
With poetry.
With poetry.
Kaveh.
Kaveh.
Of the poet.
Of the poet.
Tasya.
Tasya.
That.
That.
Kim.
Kim.
What use?
What use?
Kandena.
Kandena.
With the arrow.
With the arrow.
Danumata.
Danumata.
Of the bowman.
Of the bowman.
Parasya.
Parasya.
Of another.
Of another.
Hridaye.
Hridaye.
In the heart.
In the heart.
Lagnam.
Lagnam.
Penetrating.
Penetrating.
Nagur Nayati.
Nagur Nayati.
Does not cause to roll about.
Does not cause to roll about.
Yat.
Yat.
Which.
Which.
Shira, the head. Translation. What is the use of a bowman's arrow or a poet's poetry if they do not penetrate the heart? Excuse me. If they penetrate the heart but do not cause the head to spin. Well, this is real art. What is the use of a bowman's arrow or a poet's poetry if they penetrate the heart but do not cause the head to spin? Real art, real culture, real artistic expression presents the innermost realities of the spirit soul in relationship with Krishna. Not only does it penetrate the heart, but it causes the head to spin. So Ramananda Roy is stating that this is the standard of transcendental art. You may get a glimpse of that sometimes as you advance in spiritual life during a kirtan. The arrow of the holy name penetrates your heart and your head spins. Maybe you can remember the first time you heard kirtan. Some of you reacted like that. Others ran away, came back later. Who was, I think it was Ashley, was telling me. She, who did you meet who invited you to come to Gaur Yoga?
Oh, I just, I for the university, so I just.
Oh, she was going to Krishna food at Vic, the university prasad distribution. And so she decided to, because she liked the food so much and she couldn't wait for the days when the prasad was being served there. So she decided to come to the Gaur Yoga. And she brought her mother and a friend, something like that.
Huh? My family.
She brought her whole family. And she came to the front door and walked up, came to the reception desk, and she said Sachi Dulal was on the reception desk. So she asked him, well, what goes on here? He said, oh, there'll be, you know, there'll be some philosophy, there'll be music, there'll be drama, and there'll be chanting. She said, chanting? That sounds weird. The whole family left. Chanting, it sounds religious. Is that your reaction?
Yeah.
Religion. Oh my God, what a disease. Typical Kiwi reaction. Typical New Zealander reaction. Yeah. Religion. Hasn't that been dead for decades here? Now, some of you reacted like that. Others of you, the first time you heard kirtan, your hearts melted. And everyone, as they become purified, feels the impact of the holy name penetrating the heart, causing the head to spin. You remember those experiences. They let you know Krishna consciousness is for real. You may remember the first time you tasted prasad, how it penetrated the heart, caused your stomach to vibrate in jubilation. You remember that, Michael?
I had 2.5 plates for some reason. I can't stop eating.
Your tongue, you couldn't stop eating because your tongue recognizes this is Krishna. my long forgotten friend. Subconsciously, you recognize that. Ramananda Roy is glorifying Rupa Goswami. Yes, in other words, he has achieved the perfection of art. He is presenting emotional expression in pure love of Krishna. He's doing it in such a way it penetrates the heart and causes the head to spin. Well done, well done. This is the standard. He goes on to glorify Rupa Goswami. He says, without your mercy, referring to Lord Chaitanya, such poetic expressions would be impossible for an ordinary living being to write. My guess is that you have given him the power. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I met Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag. He attracted and satisfied me because of his qualities. Let's look at this purport from Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to some and neutral to others. One can actually draw the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by service. Then one is further empowered by the Lord to act in such a way that everyone can appreciate his service. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Krishna is responsive. If one tries to render his best service to the Lord gives him the power to do so. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami bhuti yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his special favor upon Srila Rupa Goswami because Rupa Goswami wanted to serve the Lord to the best of his ability. Such is the reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord in the discharge of devotional duties. This is where it's at, the discharge of devotional duties. Where would we be without devotional duties? Sometimes we may resent them, feel inconvenienced, feel exhausted, but the fact is, our life and soul is devotional duty. And as we advance in spiritual life, instead of occasionally resenting devotional duties, we'll adore them, cling to them, cherish them. You can help accelerate that process by begging Krishna for the ability to cherish and adore devotional service. Even when it's appearing tough, there's some challenge. There's some marathon effort required, or there's some personal inconvenience you have to go through, even personal misunderstandings. We want to draw the attention of Krishna by service. Then Krishna will give you further power. As Srila Prabhupada writes, if one tries to render his best service to the Lord gives him the power to do so. Therefore, the question is, are we trying to do our best service for the Lord? Krishna knows when you're playing around, when you're not really committed. We've often pointed out, how would you like someone dear to you to do something for you in a very casual, haphazard way? You would feel very hurt. So why should we offer Krishna substandard, haphazard, spaced out service? A devotee wants to offer Krishna the best, and therefore a devotee is constantly trying to improve his or her service. The discharge of devotional duties is what reveals the reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees. But first you have to have devotional duties. And then you discharge those duties, trying to do your best. You want to give the best service to Krishna. So you think, what will make my service improved? You don't allow lethargy or habit. You don't get stuck in a rut. Oh, I've been doing things like this for 20 years. No, devotional service is dynamic. Because love is dynamic. Indeed, devotional service is love. Gradually, you'll recognize that devotional service is an arrangement for loving affairs. As the sadhana stage becomes more spontaneous and raga develops, spontaneous attraction for Krishna, you'll see that the whole scheme of devotional service is simply an arrangement for loving affairs. When you draw the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He'll further empower you, so your service will go to even another level. Why do we have this fear that Krishna doesn't notice us? Sometimes I've even heard, Krishna has forsaken me. Krishna doesn't know what I'm doing. If you honestly look at your devotional life, you'll see how Krishna is reciprocating with you, even in the neophyte stage. Just like Michael was saying, the first time he took Krishna prasad, couldn't stop eating. That's Krishna reciprocating. He's within your heart as a supersoul. As Paramatma, the supersoul, He's telling you, go for it, Michael, go for it. Another plate. I'm here, your long-lost friend. And so you begin your devotional service with the tongue. Seva mukhihi jivada, swayameva sprachyata. Devotional service begins with the tongue. You can see that, especially on Sundays. I like walking by the serving counter, the bakery, and seeing the people coming back for seconds and thirds. And I ask them, how did you like it? Oh, I just can't get enough of it. I'm just completely pigging out. Then I know that the cooks have been successful. What does it mean that the cooks have been successful? It means they've cooked with devotion and attracted the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cooking is an art. Just like Rupa Goswami's drama, his drama skills. Similarly, you'll read in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Raghava Pandit's cooking skills. His cooking skills were so high that Srimati Radharani worked in his kitchen. The pinnacle of cooking artistry. Lord Chaitanya, as his Avesh expansion, would appear in four places. Avirbhava. The expansion of Lord Chaitanya, the presence of Lord Chaitanya felt when some extraordinary devotion is happening by his devotees. He would appear in the house of Mother Sachi, his mother, whenever she would offer food. Lord Chaitanya would come in as his Avirbhava presence, eat all the offerings. And whenever Lord Nityananda would dance in ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya would appear. He would also be in the house of Shivas Thakur whenever kirtans would happen. Shrivas Thakur had a house, Shrivas Angan, and that's where the Lord Chaitanya's associates would gather for their nighttime chanting, kirtan. And finally, the fourth place, in the house of Raghava Pandit, because Raghava Pandit would prepare such inconceivably devotional offerings to the Lord. This is the perfection of art. It conveys the presence of the Supreme Personality Godhead. This is far from just hymns glorifying, "Oh God, how great you are." That is something. That is something. That's kirtan. Kirtan means the sound glorification of the Supreme Lord. So if you just simply sing, I remember my little sister would sing at church, "Who made the mountains, who made the seas, somebody bigger than you or me." So it's a very elementary understanding, but it's better than nothing. So, Rupa Goswami is giving the pinnacle of artistic expression in that he's conveying the particulars, the specific flavors of perfect loving affairs. That's what the second half of Nectar Devotion is about. All the different details, like what stimulates ecstatic love. How is it that the devotee, just by happening to see a peacock feather, immediately falls into ecstasy, remembering Krishna? Now sometimes Srimati Radharani would embrace a tamal tree because that tree has the complexion of Krishna. All these details of ecstatic love. What stimulates it? What are the different flavors of ecstatic love? How they combine? What are the primary rasas? What are the secondary rasas? This is all the highest artistry and culture. Let us remember that Krishna is indeed responsive. If we cannot see how Krishna is responding to our little endeavors, then get some guidance. In any case, you should have guidance, but particularly guidance can point out to you how indeed Krishna is responding to you. Therefore, we want to try to render our best service to the Lord, and the Lord will give us the power to do so. We want to serve the Lord to our best ability. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that whatever so-called troubles you encounter in the course of serving Krishna are actually great benedictions. They're wonderful jewels. Now, perhaps you might say, well, undergoing inconveniences and even severe austerities to please Krishna. Isn't there an easy way to please Krishna without all that? At the same time, if someone tried to please you going through great austerities and ordeals, you would like it so much. You can't properly reciprocate with anyone for going through some ordeal and pleasing you, materially I'm speaking, but Krishna can. In fact, the ordeal in trying to please Krishna is the presence of Krishna. Bhakti means that the means are the same as the goal. You serve Krishna in order to serve Krishna. You chant Krishna in order to chant more Hare Krishna. So as you mature in devotional service, you will see the struggles as the presence of Krishna. That's why Queen Kunti made that famous prayer. Vipada santuta shashva tatra tatra jagadguru. Let these miseries happen again and again. Let the whole Kurukshetra miseries, all the exploitations by Duryodhan and company, all the problems she and her five children, Panchpandava, let it happen again and again because Krishna was here with us. Now the battle is over. Krishna is about to depart to go back to his capital city of Dwarka. That's the real disaster. So better let calamities happen and Krishna will be with us. So she saw that throughout all these calamities, Krishna was present. So therefore, they weren't actually calamities at all. But now, it's the happy ending, we'd say, from the material point of view. The battle of Kurukshetra is over. The evil ones have been deposed and eliminated. Righteousness, purity has triumphed. So now everyone lives happily ever after. But what is Kunti Devi saying? No! Let's do a rewind here. Let's bring back all the miseries, bring back all the calamities because Krishna was here. Now it's the so-called happy ending where everyone lives happily ever after and Krishna's going. That's the real disaster. So you see, bhakti is not a phenomenon of the material world. And as you mature more and more in devotional service, you'll realize that. So let's conclude this presentation of the artistry of Rupa Goswami, discussing just a tiny aspect of it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised the metaphors and other literary ornaments of Srila Rupa Goswami's transcendental poetry. Without such poetic attributes, he said, Lord Chaitanya said, there is no possibility of preaching transcendental mellows. Lord Chaitanya is saying that art is necessary in order to convey the realities of pure love of Krishna. One of the qualities of a devotee is being poetic. The real purpose of poetic attributes, or any kind of artistic expression, is to properly convey the perfection of emotional exchange between the Lord and his devotee. As you become more and more purified in devotional service, you'll be able to relish these points. So in conclusion, you can see that artistry is necessary for conveying bhakti rasa. Looked at another way, bhakti rasa, the loving mellows, the loving affairs of devotional service, equal artistry. Knowing this, you won't be attracted to mundane artistry, mundane artistic expression. In conclusion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all his personal associates to bless Rupa Goswami so that he might continuously describe the pastimes of Vrindavan, which are full of emotional love of Godhead. All right, we'll stop here.